Ken is running the meeting. The only person we're expecting who's not here is Yuri Mylov, so you'll call Ken. Maybe we should start.
Okay, well, let's start the meeting. Welcome to everybody at the meeting. Let's see, the agenda items begin with OR Sandbox and OR DevBox status update, but I guess Ray Ferguson isn't here.
I guess we can do the update. Ray Ferguson is here more to talk about the BioPortal and OR architecture sort of harmonization. In that respect. So you want to review the agenda to see if other people have other things to add.
Is there anything else to add here? Well, it's
a long list already. That's true.
That's a long enough list. Let's get started. All right. But even for the OR Sandbox and OR DevBox, let's see. Who could report on that? Teachers is here.
I can provide a summary status.
Peter.
It's not exciting news quite yet. To go back one step, is our plan is to install a new sandbox based on the BioPortal, what they call the NCBO appliance, which is a VM image that just dropped into a virtual machine infrastructure and is supposed to work. So that will become our sandbox, and the sandbox that we were originally using becomes our development box, which hopefully we will start collecting people's contribution to codes and everything, possibly maybe upgrading that a little bit, but essentially run that as a development box going on a parallel track of development while we run a almost production sandbox that we can host people's submitted ontologies and so on. So the plan was good. The implementation was challenging. Turns out the VM image was prepared for VMware, and the CIM3 infrastructure runs on SandSource, a sort of different virtual machine infrastructure. Mike Dean actually was quick in being able to install that appliance image onto his notebook, and everybody thought it was easy. The next we know is Ken and the Northeastern team tried to implement that on one of their VMware machines and found that there was some incompatibility in the CPU. Mike Dean also tried to implement it on their hosted server, where there's on the same machine where they host SamWeb Central, which is a VMware machine, and is still not getting there yet. We went back to Stanford and asked them if they could help us convert to a SAN image, just to find out that they finally discovered that the image that they packaged together had some low-level dependencies that doesn't lend itself very well to SAN infrastructure. So in short, they are giving up on that image, which was called the version 3.2 which was the BioPortal 3.2, the version 0.3, because they promised a 4-month release cycle on the VM images. They promised a 4-month cycle, October is set to 4 months, so they are going to just grab the latest image and then redo the whole thing, trying to come up with an image that will work for both VMware and Xen. So that's the latest. And that's also one of the reasons why Ray isn't joining us, because they said, I mean, they will put focus on to getting that VM image out and let's do it serially. Let's get that done first. So essentially that's the situation on the VM image. So as far as we are concerned, the sandbox still runs a fairly old image of BioPortal without surge and without a few things that we have taken out for development purposes. So that's the status. Hopefully within a couple of weeks, Stanford will come out with their image, and let's keep our fingers crossed and hope that works off the bat.
Thanks, Peter. A couple of things. One was, did Ray Ferguson say they may be coming out with a WAR file?
Remember during the joint session, we did ask about upgrades, and he said, first of all, they are not going to spend time writing the install instructions, because installing from code is not trivial, as we all know. And so they will insist that everyone make a first install of the appliance. And after that, obviously, people cannot reinstall the appliance, because then all your local customizations will be wiped out. So the next thing that they will do is essentially in upgrades, they will sort of release WAR files to just patch sort of segments of code. So that's
okay.
The plan. We'll find out more. I guess everyone will be played by ear.
It's good to clarify that.
Yes.
Just one more little detail. The issue wasn't so much the operating system as such that they weren't supporting. It was that they...
The CPU, right.
Whether they supported... I mean, they required a 64-bit version of CentOS rather than 32, and that is
right.
A problem.
Yeah, they said they weren't aware of that, and was glad that you sort of brought that up too. But they also discovered there were some low-level dependencies that sort of got packaged in, that sort of locked the image into sort of supporting VMware and not Xen. I guess it wasn't until that they tried to get us a workable Xen image that they found out. So even if our conversion program worked, it would not have worked anyway.
That was actually, it wasn't about the Xen. That was about just installing it on VMware.
Right.
The point is that the
CIM3 side had Xen problem. You had, you and Mike Dean had VMware problem.
Yeah, so it was, we're using VMware, we're using VMware, and in spite of that, we couldn't install it.
Right.
So that was, it wasn't even an issue of conversion to Xen. It didn't even work without conversion. So yeah, there were a lot of issues that we uncovered in the process of trying to install it.
I think all in all, it's a a good exercise.
It was a good exercise. I'm sure it was helpful to them, too, to learn about us. Okay, so that's any other questions about the status update on the sandbox and the dev box? All right, so let's move on to report of the SOCOP ORNL meetings.
Yes. One of the reasons why everybody was rushing was that because SOCOP, that's the Spatial Ontology Community of Practice, which is a group that is funded by NSF, and within that funding, within that grant, it actually says they will stand up an ontology repository, and within their plans, they are going to sort of do it OOR. And since they were going to Oak Ridge National Lab for this cyber GIS workshop, as well as visiting the Oak Ridge National Lab semantics people, I guess Michael knows them, like Lynn Bouchard and her colleagues, they being people like Nancy Wiegand, Gary Burke Cross, Mike Dean, and a few more, were busy preparing a presentation and a demo using a SOCOP version of OOR. That's also good because that puts a deadline onto us trying to get something ready. We tried, and it wasn't ready by the time they really needed it. And at the end of the day, Mike Dean made his demonstration of the installed version on his notebook, which I mentioned. Although he actually was able to put the latest OR logo in there, and then he just captured screenshots and put them on slides for the presentation. So that was it. But he said it went very well.
Great. Thanks for the report, Peter. Any questions about that? Okay. So let's move on to member activities updates. Peter, you've already been.
This is Terry. Have you got a copy of those slides?
Not me. I'm almost certain they would release it sometime. The next time we talk to either one of them.
Okay. Well, if you could just put a note on the OOR forum about them.
Okay. I'll also make a note. Terry asked for a link to their slides.
Excellent.
Good.
So, any other questions? Okay, so member activities updates. Peter, do you have anything else to add?
Member activities update?
Yeah, you've already been reporting a lot.
I guess usually we will go through the list under 2X9C. Yeah, we did.
2X9C.
So,
planning and coordination.
Yeah, there's a
we
planning.
We should do the planning and coordination first. Sorry.
Right. Since there aren't a lot of us here, maybe by the time we're through with the planning and coordination.
Yes, I don't know if we have any. Do we have any events currently planned? Let's see.
We don't have any event currently planned, but I'm glad you and Todd and Michael here, at least when we come out of this session, I'm hoping at least we have a few dates for the next architecture and API workshop, metadata workshop, and some plans on starting a standards series, mini series. Right, Michael?
But as part of OOR, I was thinking the standard series would be part of the broader ontology.
Broader, yes, yes. But
Yeah, no, definitely that's on the agenda to get that moving. But that was part of ontolog in general.
Okay.
Not just OOR, yeah.
Do we want to start locking in some dates? Actually, if we first work on dates, then it's easier. Everyone has some target to work from, some dates to throw out to the panels to find out if they are available and adjust from there. We can.
Okay. Okay, that's a good point. That we could have that standard series, because some standards, say like we were trying before, you know, like with that one particular, you know, group, you know, with that, you know, in SC32, some of those standards are oriented towards repositories. So we could have both dates. Like Lisa Kendall, for example, last time couldn't make Thursday afternoons, but maybe could
right.
make this date. So, okay, so when I approach people, I'll give them kind of the alternative, either the Thursday time, which was the same, I think. Was it 1:30 Eastern? And then alternatively, like this time, right?
Thursdays. Actually, it used to be, 10:30 is 1:30, right?
Yeah.
It has been 1:30 for many years. And then last Ontology Summit, we moved it up by 1 hour. So I mean, since there aren't a lot of us, but we are quite representative of sort of hardcore virtual event goers. Did the 1 hour earlier work well for everyone? Probably helps people in Europe, now that you're in Europe. So also,
yeah, that's true.
So would you prefer like 1:30 or 12:30?
12:30 would be fine, yeah.
Okay. Then maybe let's totally move that slot 1 hour early.
Okay. So I'll contact Elisa again to see whether she would be willing, and a couple of the other projects that are there, actually in that particular, you know, committee, and because there were several that were related to repositories. So I'll approach her again, and then probably, you know, I'm thinking say 3 weeks from now would be the first one. That'd be the earliest we'd be able to do it, just to give people some lead time, right?
Yeah.
So 3 weeks would be 25th,
maybe the first
October
week of
or 27th?
Yeah, the first week of November, maybe.
Or first week
the
of November.
The last week of October is a Semantic Web Conference.
Yeah, so.
So the first week of November.
Do we have something scheduled for that date, 1 November, yet?
We don't have anything scheduled any date past today, actually.
Okay, well, let's I'll ask Lisa then whether November 1st works for her.
Okay, November 1st. And this Thursday you have the first meeting of the 17347.
That's right.
Maybe shortly you can schedule one of those.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Peter, could you translate that into English? The 17,
okay,
whatever.
There's a new project that's starting up within ISO. It's starting up in a different group, TC37, which deals with vocabulary and terminology. The project is called OntoIOP, short for Ontology Interoperability, and it was accepted as a new work item within ISO last July.
And it's kind of being driven by the group here at Raymond, the HET team. And so I'm kind of also participating. Leo is, Leo Oberst,
yep.
Fabian Neuhaus. And so the purpose of the project is
to... Terry is on the team. Yeah,
Terry
Long.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I'm in.
Terry,
yeah. Well, I haven't seen anything except the opening of the forum.
Yes, yes, that's
okay.
An important step. No, that's one step to get everyone on the same page.
So we have to make sure that the latest draft of the document gets distributed there. I think that's kind of going through all the different national bodies, as opposed to like on a project basis. We have to kind of get that straightened out. Mm-hmm. But the purpose of the project is really to assist in specifying using mappings between different ontology languages to help specify mappings between ontologies, but also as a way of being able to specify what you might call heterogeneous ontologies, where you know you have part of your ontology is written in OWL, part of your ontology is written in Common Logic, part of your ontology is written in you know some other language, and you want to be able to have all those combined together and work together. So it's not a new ontology language that people are proposing. It's more of a kind of a glue that enables the existing ontology languages and ontologies to be able to interoperate. So that's the objectives of the project. And the first big meeting is going to be day after tomorrow in Berlin. So I'll be there. Fabian will be there. The HETS team from Bremen will be there. And I'm not sure who else will be participating by teleconference.
I am planning to be there for the first hour just to say hello. Tired of waking up at 4 a.m. in the morning.
I'll probably still be awake.
Yeah. I believe Sue Ellen Wright is going. I mean, it's running, but she's going to sort of at a thing, and supposedly people who wanted to attend remotely, people on the team who want to attend remotely needs to contact the ISO secretariat or something. This
she was going to get my name on the secretariat list, but I don't know how far that got.
Right, that just happened this morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's why I
still need to know the
compiling all the lists
connection
and
protocol
and getting everyone onto a mailing list so that at least the communication is not sort of piecemeal. I mean, I've seen on and off a lot of communication going on, some with my name, others not. I mean, I don't even get, but every time it's only a partial list.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, well, I'll stand by, and if I get something that lets me connect with them.
You
I'll
can mark your calendar. Thursday,
yeah.
4 a.m.
Okay.
In the morning.
Yes, I'd be very interested in knowing more about that as well, because with the joint work we're doing with the Object Management Group, we're looking at sharing of terms across ontologies as well, of course.
Yes. So Michael, after Thursday, you probably, or you and the group probably have enough material to run a presentation to Ontolog and OOR and everybody else, right?
Yeah.
We could actually actually schedule that for this month. I hate to sort of
yeah, we could.
Four Thursdays run empty, and then because very soon the ontology summit programs will start, and all the Thursdays will be blocked off. So if we could schedule that for, let's say, maybe a week or 2 weeks from this Thursday, it might not be a bad idea.
So on the 20th.
You want to lock that in?
Yeah.
So tentatively, ISO 17347, October 20th. What's the Elisa Kendall's ISO?
On November 1st, I think. I'm gonna have to go look that up. I thought it was 22745, but not. Don't think that's right.
19763.
Oh, is that hers? Oh, okay. I'm gonna get it mixed up with the other one.
Yeah, 19763.
Okay.
Okay, that will be November 1 tentatively.
Yeah,
all right.
He's okay with that. Yeah.
Which is good. Right. Next architecture and API workshop. Next slide.
Do you have a suggestion, Todd?
I thought today was the one for that.
No, today it's definitely not that. Because the original plan was today we invite Ray Ferguson on sort of exchange between their, you can call that architecture, yeah.
Yeah, okay. When is Ray available? Or do you just want to press on and wait for him to join us when he can?
He wanted to finish this the VM image and deliver that to us first before showing up. The good news is, in the meantime, I actually spent quite a bit of time with him last Friday, and we went through the deck of slides again, and that particularly that last slide and the pointer to the comparative study.
Oh.
He said he will do some homework first. And because that was 2 years ago, I told him things on our side probably hasn't changed that much because we were still talking. But they're on their side, they might have changed a lot, especially there may be things they didn't plan to do and now they may be doing. So he'll take that comparison as a sort of baseline and tell us, where those gaps, whether they are already working on those gaps, whether they will never work on those gaps, or whether they are also thinking of doing it, and I guess those are the parts that we want to harmonize and decide whether they do it, we do it, or what. So that's what Ray is going to do, and he said between now and the time he shows up for our meeting, he will be doing the VM image and coming back with a report on that status review.
Okay, I have to also point out I've forgotten to get in contact with Ray to get the access to their SVN Subversion repository, so I could reverse engineer their stuff and maybe that could help them out. Sorry.
Okay. All right. But he's on the OR list, so you can just...
I've just forgotten.
Shoot a message to the OR list, and supposedly he will respond from there.
Okay. Should do it right now, then.
So next... if you do it next Friday, Ray probably isn't going to show up, but we have enough things to talk about even if he doesn't show up, right?
What time would that – is that 14 October?
What?
Next Friday.
Next Tuesday. We do Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, the 11th.
Well, I heard you say Friday, Peter. That's why I wondered. Yeah,
I my mistake.
All right.
My bad. So next Tuesday is 11th.
11 or 11:30?
What? Yes,
is it 11?
11
Eastern time.
October 11th.
Oh, October 11th. I'm sorry.
October 11th. 11:30 and 11:30 time also.
Okay.
So next Friday?
Friday?
Next Tuesday, sorry.
Next Tuesday.
Okay. Architecture. API. This will be 8, right? Number 8.
Right.
So Tuesday, October 11th. Then I guess the one after that would be metadata, if I guess correctly. Does that work for you on the 18th, Michael?
Well, let's see. What would we be talking about?
Well, there are actually some action items for you, Michael. Yeah. You're going to provide a preliminary list of required metadata attributes in addition to what OMV already provides.
Okay. Guess we'll talk about that then.
I'd like to contribute to that as well, because we've been looking at metadata attributes along with Elisa on our OMG work. So I may have to displace another call to be able to make that one, but I'd certainly like to be part of that.
Okay. Maybe if you could send me then just a brief abstract, if you will, of what you'd like to talk about, and then I can kind of organize it that way. I don't think we'll have maybe necessarily like a formal panel, but I want to get a list of people who will be kind of say actively contributing, just like you were thinking of there. So would that work?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Excellent.
Yeah.
Michael, I can send you a bunch of slides. I went through all of our previous, many of our previous meetings back to 2010 to cull out what we actually decided upon.
Okay.
And that might help you identify the additional attributes that need to be specified.
Perfect.
As soon as I get my email client cooperating, girl. Yeah, I may have to drop off the call, Peter, for our help desk if they call back to fix this problem.
Okay. Good. Anything on the 25th?
I'm going to be at ISWIC that week, so I won't be available.
Oh, that would be ISWIC already.
Yeah.
So maybe week of October 24th will be this week. Therefore, probably no virtual events that week. All right, so that's the whole month, and then the next would be November 1. Oh, no, November 1? Did you say November 1?
Yeah.
Do you want a Thursday for Elisa instead? Because then
well,
we can
I was hoping
grab a larger community.
Okay, we can go for Thursday then, sure. That would be
Thursday, November 3.
Yeah, okay, let's go for
November
that. And then if she can only do a Tuesday, then we'll maybe do the following Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What time would that be then, Peter, on Thursday, 11:30 Eastern again?
Thursdays would be 12:30 Eastern.
Okay.
And Tuesdays would be 11:30 Eastern. Right, and then next regular OR team meeting would be November 1, Tuesday. All right. I just wait. I just saved, so two XSJ. Michael, your metadata workshop will be number 3. Is that correct?
So
number 3 or 4?
3 or 4. Oh, jeez, I can't remember.
I'll find out.
I think it's number 3. No,
number 3.
I think you're right. I think it's 3.
Yuri is with us. Hello, Yuri.
Yes. Hi, guys. Excuse me for being late.
Okay, back to Ken.
Okay. So I guess we're all set with planning. So now member activities updates. So Peter, you've already given us your update.
Yeah, sandbox text.
All right.
Sandbox, yeah. We've done.
And, yeah, I've also...
Yeah, we're looking below 2X9C.
2X9C.
2X9C. The code repository, I guess there's no update. Originally, I was hoping to have a chance to ask if there's any desire to move everybody over to Git during the September 13 session, but I never had a chance to discuss that. I guess we can save that for the next time Ray Ferguson shows up. In the meantime, we are still at SAMweb Central.
Huh.
And Yuri, you have access to the repository now. Is that correct?
Hello?
Hello? Yes?
Yeah.
You do?
Can you hear me?
No, I'm asking, do you have access to the SAMweb Central code repository?
Yeah, I guess I do.
Okay, fantastic.
Oh,
right.
Actually,
NCPO update.
Peter, actually, I was just going to go around to the various people rather than the activities to ask anyone if anything has been happening in these areas. Is that okay?
Okay. Oh, please.
So, the list of activities we have is 2X9C, and then I'd like to ask. Terry, have you been active in anything lately?
No, I'm still just listening. I am very, very interested in the metadata, essentially the integration question. I understand that there's another body that's doing the metadata, so I've just kind of been just sitting back and hoping I can figure out what's going on.
May I suggest that if you could come up with some use cases, that would be really great.
Okay.
So, if you have something in particular you can come up with, then just send it to me and I can add it to our list of use cases.
Fair enough.
Okay, Tim Dar. Tim?
Yes, sorry.
Any activities?
No, we were originally developing a registry or repository for our project, and it kind of got shifted to other priorities right now, so that's kind of on hold right now.
Priorities? What does that mean?
Other project requirements and tasks have taken a higher priority.
Huh. So have you considered trying to install an instance?
We will as soon as we kind of get back on track for this particular task.
Okay, great. Okay, the Mike Bennett.
Hi. Yeah, well, we've been sort of busy on our own parallel track with the joint work with the object management group, because part of our financial industry semantics was having terms that are either derived from or refer to terms across a range of industries. We've had from the beginning a need to integrate content from different ontologies, and we've been pressing ahead with the practicalities of how we do that within our own working environment. But I'm still very keen to see what are the synergies between how we deal with that kind of integration of content on the one hand, and how things are registered and shared via the OOR on the other hand. And, you know, we don't want to be reinventing stuff, and you know, we want to be good citizens of everything. So I guess the other thing is as well, on our timings, you know, we're doing everything in UML tooling using ODM, Ontology Definition Meta Model, at the moment. But part of standardizing the latest version of that will be the availability of our versions of our content, starting at the end of December with our first release of stuff. So once that's in OWL, that should hopefully overcome any of the barriers to having been able to get that into the OOR machinery, as we haven't been able to do at present. So that's really where we are, and hence my interest in metadata. We've developed quite a lot of different kinds of metadata, some of which are relevant to sharing ontology concepts and some of which are not, and looking at things like how to represent SCoS and Dublin Core terms within the ODM UML modeling framework and so on. So, yeah, a lot happening, but haven't really been able to do much towards OOR directly.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
Is your metadata efforts in any way domain dependent?
No.
Okay.
Okay, so are there any particular requirements that you could, you know, requirements and use cases that you could suggest for the OOR that would be helpful for your efforts?
I guess, yeah, I could think about that. Because we're looking at things like, you know, if we want to refer to date and time terms, what's the most authoritative date and time ontology? And if we want to refer to geographical terms, what's the best geographical ontology, and so on? And we've been looking at a number of criteria for that kind of thing. And working with a couple of accounting-related standards as well. So I guess probably most of the use cases we need should hopefully be supported by the ontology-level metadata. That may be something to look at. So things like, you know, different facts about ontologies, including are they well-formed OWL ontologies? You know, we've had at least one in OWL which isn't really a good ontology at all. It's just using OWL as a syntax. So questions like that are always worth being able to document or get a handle on. I'm not sure how to do justice to that, but, yeah.
It sounds like you have needs for metadata.
Indeed.
And this would be, to what extent does OMV satisfy this, or do you need an extension of OMV?
That's a very good question. I should say that on the metadata side, I'm working very closely with Elisa Kendall. She's really the person I'm looking to for guidance in these matters, and I would defer to her for whether OMV covers everything we need or not. But having said that, I have been producing a table of kinds of things we'd look at for an ontology, so I guess it wouldn't hurt to just sort of run through that and see whether all those kinds of terms are covered in OMV or would be appropriate in OMV or not.
That sounds good. In fact, that would be good for the metadata session.
Yes, so maybe I'll bring two lots of metadata to the table, and I hope Elisa can make the same session as well. But basically the ontology-level metadata, which is the scope of OMV, and the term-level metadata, of which we're looking at what would be a kind of normative or canonical set of Dublin Core terms, SCoS terms, whatever else. So we've got at least one unique term of our own and possibly others. And a lot of stuff coming out of ISO 1087, of course, the whole terminology side of things.
Okay, great. Todd?
I've just been trying to cull through all the material or the oral of our previous meetings to figure out what we actually have agreed to as part of the specification for OOR. And I sent you a summary of that, you and Peter, and I don't know if I copied you, Michael. I may not have been able to find your address quickly enough the other day. I will send those slides to Michael so he can review what he thinks he agreed to do. In terms of extensions to OMV.
Sounds good.
Oh, and okay. I also have to get a hold of Ray Ferguson and get the access to the subversion directories and try and do that reverse engineering for them before I forget again.
Okay, great.
So are you sending the slides just to Michael, or are you going to post it to the list?
Well, I have to clean them up some more before I post them anywhere.
Okay.
You let Michael look at the dirty ones?
Yeah. he's in more of a hurry than everyone else, I believe, or might be in more of a hurry and more of a need.
Okay, great. Is that... Are you finished, Todd?
Yes.
Okay, Michael? Michael Grenier?
Yep, so I've been working quite actively here on integrating Calori with HEPS, focusing on how the metadata within Calori can be interpreted correctly by the metadata within HEPS. So just this morning, actually, we kind of resolved one kind of issue that had been blocking things. And so I'm hoping that within the next couple of weeks we might actually be able to actually upload or download, whichever direction you're looking at, basically take all of Calori and be able to have it in HETS, in the HETS system.
Okay, but to what extent do you think HETS could be integrated into OOR?
Well, HETS essentially has a lot of repository-like features, and so I think there'll be another round of questions about how what you just kind of said, right? How can the HETS system kind of be combined with other parts, like with the kind of the OR mission? I mean, they've tried to do it with BioPortal, and they kind of encountered the same obstacles we did in terms of having kind of first-order ontologies captured in BioPortal. So, I mean, they're actively looking at how to align, if you will, some of the architectural issues. I think that's kind of where you're coming from, right? The architectural issues.
Yeah, thinking more in terms of the architectural issues. I mean, the architecture workshops have been concerned with, you know, coming up with a good architecture so that it would be easier to do such integrations, such as with HETS or with Calori. But, of course, I guess we haven't been getting a lot of input from the HETS team to suggest anything about what they would need for, an architecture and an API.
Right. So maybe I'll try to engage them more from that architectural perspective. We've been kind of mainly focused on the logic perspective because that was a big barrier. I think we've kind of resolved some of those main issues there. The next step would be to focus more on architecture.
In a lot of ways, the
relationship between HETS and OR is maybe more analogous to the relationship, say, between, well, kind of like a hybrid of Protégé and BioPortal, right? That HETS combines some functional aspects of repository with some aspects of design. And so that's maybe why it's been a little more difficult to think of it from the architectural perspective, because it kind of combines different features from those two sorts of tools.
Yeah, I kind of saw that too, but I think at this point, what is the... Peter, do you know what exactly the thinking is on the BioPortal team about the relationship between BioPortal and Protégé?
There is already some... I made a post to the COTS, about COTS, for those who know what COTS is. Actually, the original COTS vision is to create an infrastructure that allows people to have a repository and be able to edit or develop ontologies collaboratively. So it's a mix of Protege plus BioPortal. They actually are doing some work using Web Protege. Web Protege actually already integrates somewhat into BioPortal now. It's not very mature, and it's in flux. That's why after my discussion with Tim Redman last week, we decided that we are retiring the Protege server client architecture to serve cards, but instead use the Protege server back end, Web Protege front end, which has some integration to BioPortal already, as the sort of interim cards platform for people. There are a few guys, not a lot, who are developing collaborative ontologies on the cards machine. So in the interim, Stanford will support them instead of CIM3 because it's so much in flux that it's a real hassle to keep things up to date all the time. But if they're running the servers right in the building, it makes a lot more sense. So in the interim, that's what we're going to do. Further down the road, when it stabilizes, then CIM3 will be running that sort of platform, Protege server backend. Hopefully by then it will be Protege 4 rather than the current 3.3.4.7. Because, I mean, there are lots of issues with the frame Protege backend as well in relation to our implementations, because 3.4.7 doesn't support R2, whereas 4 does. So by then CIM3 will be hosting a version of the Protege backend, Web Protege frontend, with full integration into BioPortal. So that then we'll have sort of a more complete CARTS vision by then. So that's the plan. And for people's some people might be interested to find out, is that what's his name? Matthew Horridge just joined Stanford, so he's part of the Protege team now. For those who know Matthew.
So it sounds like BioPortal and Protege are to some degree being integrated at this point, which is similar to what HETS is doing.
No, HETS tries to translate between first order logic and R and everything else, right?
Oh, yeah, Michael, you said that it's actually more than that.
Well, it kind of allows you to actually do some development along the way as well, right? To be able to analyze ontologies and kind of actively specify relationships between ontologies as you could in a repository. So that's why I think there's some repository-like features in the sense of, like, the metadata in HETS is very strong. But you're right. I mean, the functionalities of
HETS,
it's got more of the back-end functionalities in terms of uploading ontologies and then inserting them and understanding all the relationships between them.
Yeah,
I think this will be kind of like one of my other kind of longer term sorts of objectives here is say first doing the logical kind of harmonization, and then next looking at more of the architectural issues.
Yeah.
Anyway, introduce my experience last week regarding this issue. It's Yuri Milov. I'm online.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can hear you. Yes.
Yes. Last week I just tried to try ontology for just an example, very simple ontology. It's a probably well-known Einstein puzzle, like where the zebra leaf. Do you know this simple logical task? So the some guy lives in a yellow house. It's five houses in the street. And some who smoke one cigarette, he drink this tea, this own the dogs. It's a very simple ontology to, and just that the Albert Einstein told that just 2% of the population can solve this logical question in his mind, in the mind. And I just want to demonstrate the power of the logical programming through the protege. And I find this ontology and try to get it, because this ontology was written in a protege for the protege 4, the 0.0. And I have a protege 4.1, and I can get it in. So then I had to install protege 4.0, then transform the XML export this stuff and then import in 4.1. So it's too long, and probably we have to build some sort of the case or test unit to follow the transformation of the reasoners of the protege. So I would just tell this story. It took some time. It was a pleasure that we have no ever simple simple test, not just pizza ontology to show people, because they want to be impressed how it's working.
You're talking about a benchmark.
Yeah, sort of. Or benchmark, but it's not working for the next version of Protege, because we have this ontology, which is a repository in Stanford Protege repository. It's listed, but it's not working if you try and go this Einstein puzzle there in the wiki. So that is probably we could help people if somebody built the protege, which the ontology, which is working for the protege 4.0, it should work for another version of protege. But it's not working because they probably don't follow the repository properly, or don't provide the way to transform the format.
Yeah, if you implement with R2 the issues, because most of the rich functions on Protege are still with Frame Protege, which is like the latest version is 3.4.7, which doesn't quite support R2. That's why I mentioned, I mean, I didn't get a lot of response, but Matthew Horridge, who used to be from University of Manchester, actually wrote most of what they call Protege 4 now. I mean, when he was with Manchester, and now he has joined the Stanford team. So things, the loop is closing. So we can probably see very fast progress from here on.
But anyway, even the version 4, it's different because it's not working for 4.1, even working for 4.0, like 4.0, even subversion of the Protege 4 not working properly.
If it's not working, you should make a post to their discussion group so that...
Yeah. I understand why it happened, because they changed some stuff. I can't fix it. I mean, we could provide more convenient way people to use our repository or instead of Protege Wiki linked to the not working ontologies. So people very simple. They don't want to fix the bugs or whatever. Follow the way they loading the protege. Try the ontology. Ontology just doesn't work and provide the exceptions. That's it. So we have now in the repository. So we can improve this stuff if there no such way such stuff in the OR repository.
Have you tried it with the sandbox?
Huh?
Have you tried uploading it to the sandbox?
Uh, sandbox, in our sandbox. I loaded from the Stanford Protégé wiki. They provide the list of the ontologies on their website. I'm not sure where they get it, but really the link provide the loading in the computer, and when I start and it's not working for Protégé.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh.
But the links provided there are from the people who developed those ontologies.
Yes,
right?
I guess.
So you're trying to get an ontology that's currently uploaded.
Yes, it's uploaded, but it's working for Protégé 4.0, and I had to install this one, and doesn't work for Protégé 4.1. So the latest version they provide on the Protégé download page are not working with the list of at least this ontology, which is a very good example because it's an impressive example. Right? And it takes time to provide people the working example to make the format transformation.
Well, that's definitely a good benchmark.
Maybe.
You should share your experience with the rest of the community. The links provided on their wiki is not provided by Stanford, but generally provided by the people who developed those ontologies.
Yes,
and
you
have some insight. Try to share it with the rest of the community.
Yes, but it's very interesting because this is the interesting example because someone we need to show it's working, and a very impressive example how the reasoner can resolve the issue, the logical task. And even we have, of course, working example with the pizza or wine ontologies, but the logical ontologies like Einstein puzzle doesn't work, it's not good. Because I did the search all the internet and didn't find it. I had to rebuild this ontology for myself to see how it's working. So now we could upload an OR or build some ontology cases which we could keep fit very good for the latest protégés. So people can be sure that if they come to the OR repository, our repository, they can find working examples or working ontologies for sure. And we could keep the test unit to provide the reformatting of this ontology in different formats. I'm not sure. Can we do this? Or provide some information. Is it working for OWL, TOEFL, whatever, just Squirrel? Something for the reasoners, ontology for the reasoners testing, or reasoners using, to have the results for people online or to let them using the latest Protégé version. This is my experience, my sharing my experience to see if we can use this situation to get the benefit in our position.
Okay, so let me understand you correctly to capture into the notes. So you downloaded the Einstein's riddle from the Protégé ontology library, and originally it didn't work. You were able to reformat it and get it to work.
Yes.
And so Ken is suggesting that you try to upload your sort of reformatted version to the OOR sandbox and see what happens.
Yeah. For example,
All right.
This is just the idea. And to have this way and develop this line to watch the latest changes in the reasoners and the Protégé and provide people the working set of the ontologies, which is working with the latest version of the Protégé.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this looks like a good test case where basically you you enter the ontology, the data, and then you put in a Sparkle query that says, who keeps fish?
Yes, for example, yes.
Well, that's the usual, I guess that's the usual question.
Yes, it's usually we should get the response, but we can't get the ontology for the simple test. We don't have the working ontology for the latest.
So you can't even get the ontology yet.
Yeah, we have not. I didn't find it, at least where I looked for the internet, for the libraries.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, you may try. If you load the latest Protégé from the Protégé website and try to test this ontology, you can find in the Stanford library, Protégé library. It won't work. It's get the exception, like null pointer exception, whatever. I don't know why it's not working. I fixed it my way, and it's working for me now, but it's no good, and this is my idea. So we could use it to show that we could help people to keep the ontology working with the reasoners, the popular editors from this site, from our site.
Yeah, well, definitely. Definitely post something about your experiences. I think that would be quite valuable.
I probably prepare the stuff and send in the group to decide what to do.
Okay. Well, I'd like to make a little comment going back to the issue of the architecture. So what I'm seeing is, of course, this has been an issue, right, kind of the original motivation for the OOR was to come up with a common architecture for repositories. And so what we're seeing is that we have BioPortal and Protégé, and now we have HETS and Colore, and I think it's even more important now that we start really addressing these architectural issues before we start having even more diversity in architectures and APIs, making it even more difficult for the various repositories and collaborative environments to share and interoperate. So I think it's really crucial that we, get good connections with the various groups and really address these architectural issues before we have even more divergence.
Part of the issue, though, is that not everyone is building a repository. It's not quite cut and dry. I mean, people are building, like you and Peter are saying, collaborative systems, and so they have a mix of functionality. It's not like somebody's saying, here's my repository, and it's using some different architecture. They're saying, here's my environment, and this environment supports a few repository features, a few design features, a few analysis features. I think that's kind of part of the challenge.
Right. Well, basically what I'm saying is it would be nice to separate out the repository features, at least that part, so that the different systems that are being developed could at least share in the repository aspect, because we do want to make a federated system. So if all the various systems have the same back end, then we could do more federation.
Right, but we may not kind of come up with a uniform architecture among everybody. I think we may just have to be satisfied with the ability to upload and download and share ontologies between systems, if you will. And I think that'll be the better kind of an approach. Because you're not going to be changing. If somebody's building a system that's part repository, part design environment, you're not going to get them to change everything to a common repository. That's just not going to happen. But I think what you can do is to say, we want to ensure that ontologies that are designed and stored in one system can be shared with others. I think that's a bare minimum of what we need to be able to do. And if that's what you're calling federation, then that's fine.
But as we were preparing for the September 13 slide, which I think was a good deck of slide, there was one bullet or sub-bullets that I think was worth reiterating. The OR project can be looked at sort of at three levels. It's a software project. It's a content project, and it's sort of a social federation type project in that we not just wanted to build a repository or a technology as tool for repository. We actually want to team everybody who's building repositories up into a federation.
Right.
The architecture to allow that kind of federation or the API that allows that kind of federation is as much
our
vision as anything else.
Yes.
So the key difference there is the ability to maintain relationships between elements in one ontology and another, be those equivalent class relationships or SCoS-type relationships of broader or narrower meanings and so on. Is that what makes the difference between something you just upload and download and something that actually references these things to each other?
Well, no, again, that's a different, there's the logical relationships, the metadata, but then Ken's talking about the software architecture. So, you want all these software systems to work together. And so what's the architecture that everyone can be plugging into to allow the shareability of ontologies as software artifacts, not necessarily as logical artifacts? That's a separate issue.
Right, it's a separate issue, but at a very minimum, the whole idea is to have an API that would facilitate this federation sharing.
Right.
And I would say that's not just the minimum, that's basically the main objective. Is everybody else getting this interference?
Yes. Who did something good?
Yeah, I would say the basic architectural issue is the federation one. If you can get to the point where you can federate, then you pretty much succeeded in getting a common architecture. And that was the whole, kind of one of the real hopes of the OOR. How exactly the back end is implemented is really up to particular project. It's the API that's crucial.
So I have to go now.
Okay. We're reaching the end of our time anyway.
Yeah, I have my objectives, so.
Okay. Have fun in Berlin.
Okay. Talk to everyone later.
We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Bye.
If not sooner, actually sooner.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Oh. Okay.
Okay, I think we've actually gotten through pretty much everything for the agenda. The last item is action planning for soliciting content. Not sure what we can add there. And I know
we'll
that you...
We'll save this for the future.
Yeah, you have listed in the notes from previous meetings... I don't know. I think a lot of those are just that from previous meetings. I'm not sure we need to copy those each week, each time we meet. But anyway, so I believe at this point we've reached a good point for adjournment. Unless there are any new business people would like to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
We'll adjourn.
Good meeting.
Thanks, everybody, for coming.
Yep. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.